The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Terrific weekend. I made a permanent indent in the couch yesterday, watching Tiger do his thing. Anybody who says that they're rooting against Tiger Woods, it's fine if you don't want him to win, but you're just ignoring the fact that if he's not on the course, nobody's watching yesterday. I've already seen where the national numbers were up 69% nationally for the PGA Championship. That's a major. I'm actually digging around on how the numbers were here in Phoenix from year to year, and may have that as the show goes on. So it was great theater. The Diamondbacks were flat awful. We're going to talk with Jody Jackson coming up. She's in Texas with the team today. She'll join us at 10:20. Eric had the good fortune of going to the Cardinals game the other night where they played a Super Bowl caliber type of performance turned in by both teams. It was thrilling. It was exciting. It was clean. It was great football. And the sellout crowd loved every last minute of it. And everybody today is talking about what an awesome showing it was. We'll have that. I went out to Arizona State and Phoenix Rising on Saturday night. I did the double because there's so much going on here in Phoenix. So I'll get into that. The toxic culture at the University of Maryland. This story is one that, it's all the way cross country, but it's one that here in Phoenix and across the country, we need to do better at talking about this situation. Not that it could happen at Arizona State or NAU or U of A or Arizona Christian or Ottawa University, where they're starting their program up here next week, or at the high school level. It's just, look, it's not a perfect system. There's not perfect people that are coaching. There's not perfect people that are watching over your kids or your program. It's just an absolute embarrassment what's gone on in Maryland. And the Ohio State story, too. I know you want to talk about football and your team and position battles and how it's going to be this season. And we're going to do some of that around Arizona and Arizona State today. But you can't just ignore it and say, well, it's over in Maryland, doesn't impact me. No, because it could show up on your campus. It could. Some of our opening comments brought to you by, actually all of them, brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. It's the start of a new week. It means it's time for you just to kind of step back and take a good, long, hard look at your situation personally. You've got people that are dependent on you, your wife, your kids, whoever it may be, and are you protecting them through life insurance? Consider Sagicor Now and just log on their website. They'll give you a free quote, guys. It's not going to hurt. Just log on. You can go to our homepage at sports360az.com or go to Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Jody Jackson here in about 9 minutes. So, Eric, you were out at Cardinals, and you were telling me it was the best sporting event that you've ever covered, correct?
Easily. It ranks right up there with covering Final Fours, Super Bowls, national championships in college football. It was epic. Epic for all the wrong reasons, but it was epic. So
the quality of play.
They did have an announced crowd of over 61,000 people.
Announced
crowd. Announced
crowd. And if it were
crowd.
Being truth, how many people bothered to show up?
The stadium was about, by kickoff, it was about 65% full. Yeah. By the end of the game, there might have been 7,000 people in the stadium. I'm being dead serious. There was nobody there at 10:39 p.m. or whenever that game ended on Saturday.
Over in section 132, there is the Sessmatts. Hey, welcome. So glad you're here tonight. The Smiths are over in row 3A on the Jumbotron.
Not even a goal line stand on the final play by the Cardinals could put lipstick on that pig Saturday night. So
I was at Marley's with our friend Ralph Amston, and I looked up at the monitor. He had one of the monitors on. Our show was on there Saturday night. Fox ran it, and there was all sorts of other sports that were on. And I look up, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Overtime preseason football.
I knew, Brad, when Cardale Jones took the field as the starting quarterback for the Chargers on Saturday night that, this is going to be quite a game. And then it morphed into Geno Smith and then Nick Szymanek. So it was...
Phillip Rivers didn't make the trip?
He was there. He just did not dress.
Was he sitting over in section 132?
I don't know. I just know he was there. He was probably on the sideline.
How did Sam Bradford look?
He threw one pass and he completed it for 6 yards. Next question.
I watched the game back.
I thought Josh Rosen looked really good. I mean, he was getting
center snaps,
much,
come on.
Much like at UCLA, he was getting destroyed pretty much on every passing play. But
the center snaps were just atrocious
with
him.
Good. That's not good.
You don't want.
Granted, it was the second string center, but it's only you're only an injury away.
You're an injury away, and when you're rolling snaps back, like I seriously, guys, when I'm watching the game, if anybody comes in and says, "Wow, David Johnson looked great," he did. You're right. That's about the only takeaway that I can take. And the Cardinals did the right thing and got him out of there. But if you're going to tell me Josh Rosen looked this or Josh Rosen looked that, it's the first of these four fake games. 32 called penalties. And so, like, I'm curious, Eric, on this end, when you're in the press box and you've got grumpy journalists that are on deadline, you're not on deadline. That's the beauty of digital. But you're watching penalty after penalty. Was it, okay, the refs are just trying to figure out the helmet-to-helmet stuff. This is part of the process. Or was it, you got to be kidding me.
I went to the refs meeting with the Cardinals last week.
Yeah.
And the refs were pretty open, saying that, you know, this is our preseason too, and we are going to throw more flags in the preseason than we will during the regular season because we want to train these players on the right way to tackle. There were two or three plays, Brad, where a safety or a corner would come up and make a form tackle, not lower the helmet,
right,
not spear, not lead with the head, and the flag came out. And it's getting to the point where they don't want guys hitting low. They don't want guys leading with their helmet. I don't know how they can redefine the sport of football. I mean, you have grown men that are so fast and so strong colliding head on. And it's just one of those things where let's hope that we don't see this during the regular season. Because if we do, the NFL has enough problems as it is. We don't need 3 hour and 45 minute NFL games. We don't.
But isn't this like hand check in the NBA? Where every year the NBA says we're going to crack down hand-checking, it lasts all of about a week?
I would say no, only because this involves concussions, and concussions is the NFL's black eye.
Right,
so.
Right. Well, that, and did you see a story? Jerry Jones got called out because he kept his hat on during the anthem.
Of course.
Like,
he did.
I mean, come on. Like, the anthem stuff, the 2 year anniversary of Colin Kaepernick is next week. And it's still, like, the biggest thing going. Like, the league hasn't figured out how can we get rid of this. And then Trump keeps bringing it up. And then Jerry Jones gets called out by media saying, you wore your hat during the anthem the other night.
As you said, Brad, the NFL in August is dumb. And it really is. Just get me to September. Let's get the real game started. Let's hope that no more players around the NFL get hurt. Like poor A.Q. Shipley, who... Yeah. Ripped up his knee in the red white scrimmage of all things.
Come on.
Poor guy.
You guys just sit in a room and say, this is so smart. No, you sit in a room and you say, we're making bank. I had somebody that called me out on it, though. They were watching us last week and they said, well, the fans know what they're getting in for when they signed up for this. No, they don't. There's people that are around me in my circles that are so excited. It doesn't matter if it's church or school or wherever in my circles. Hey, man, we're going to the Cardinal game this week. And I'm like, why? And they're, well, don't you think it's football? No, it's not football. A friend of mine texted me the other night. He's down in Mexico. He's watching. It's so great to see the Cardinals and their offensive line. Are they really this good? And they're doing this against guys that are going to be digging ditches and pumping gas. Nothing wrong with those professions. They're not going to make it. You know, and so there's a portion out there that just turns it on because, look, they're busy. They want to be entertained. I understand that. I'm merely the guy that's sitting over here for the last several years saying this stuff is the worst of what when we do a book. Howard Cosell, the great late Howard Cosell, did a book called What's Wrong with Sports. And he was very forward thinking. This book was published in the early 80s. I still have it in my office. He goes through things that aren't good about sports. Some of them still are happening today, labor relations and others. He didn't list in the book about preseason NFL football, but I'm guessing if he were to update the book and write it again, that one of the first chapters in the book would be preseason NFL football. What's wrong with sports? Yeah, I'm leading with it because you people want to consume it. I don't know why, but you do. It's like, did anybody buy that $75 hamburger the other night at the Cardinal game? Like, to me, that's the reason to go. I went to watch preseason football and had 32 penalties called. And while they were throwing a flag on all 32, I paid $75 for a hamburger. Of course you did. It makes perfect sense. So the Cardinals play this Friday night against New Orleans. Did you see our guy Peter out there? Peter King? He was supposed to go.
I did. Yeah, I talked to Peter quite a bit in the press box on Saturday.
And how's he doing with Football Morning in America, his new site and all that?
Yeah, everything's good.
He looks good?
Yeah, he looked good. He was bumping around, talking to a whole bunch of different people, but I did grab his attention. We chatted for about 10, 15 minutes.
Good.
He gave me a little anecdote on Philip Rivers about, because, you know, Rivers is doing the commute from San Diego Los Angeles.
Yes.
And he has a driver that drives him from San Diego to Los Angeles. And I guess Peter was saying that Philip Rivers has now this whole intricate, like, two laptops, high-speed internet in the car. So he uses that time to do his film study, and he has someone that drives him up and down the coast every day for practice.
The driver was Nick Hardwick.
It was.
Yeah.
I don't know if it still is.
It's not. Nick is no longer doing the broadcast stuff. I thought when I read that Philip was doing that he'd take Amtrak, because he's in Carlsbad, and the coaster goes right up there. But it's still very smart. I get it. I think back in the day when the Cardinals trained in Flagstaff, I know that Fitz would fly back and forth. He'd have somebody just pick him up in Scottsdale.
Huh.
He wouldn't do that every day, but I know that there were times where he would go back and forth.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I miss Flagstaff. That's another thing, too. But it's how the NFL has changed. It's just, let's just get this stuff.
I don't think the players of the team misses Flagstaff, per se, but we
but
definitely
miss fans.
Flagstaff.
No,
sure.
I think fans
oh, definitely.
Do.
Of
I think
course.
Fans do.
Flagstaff misses the Cardinals. We know that.
Sure. And so, you know, where preseason was and training camp was, Eric, and we'll get to Jody in a second. When you see where it was and where it is now, just how much it's changed since we've gotten into this business. They keep scaling it back. I think they're going to keep doing that. I don't know if they'll ever get rid of it. Jody Jackson with the Diamondbacks. Did they really have a team meeting on Saturday after losing two in a row? We'll focus on the Diamondbacks next. Jody's with them in Texas. I'm Brad Sussmat. So let's turn our attention to the Diamondbacks. They open a series in Texas tonight. Texas in August. Yikes. Jody Jackson, Fox Sports Arizona. Jody, who took an iceberg off the face last week after a Peralta game winner. Jody, who just I didn't think you'd make this road trip, actually, because you were at home.
No?
No. I thought you might take one off and Todd would go. But
No, Todd was on the last one. So it's not always totally rotational, but,
all right.
You know. Yeah.
How are you?
My turn, and I'm good, and I love the heat. You know me, I love the heartland here, the greenery on the hills.
Yeah.
Love it.
Let's clear some things up on this deal. So they did have a team meeting after they lost Saturday, or they did not?
Well, here's the thing. There was a delay in getting into the clubhouse a little bit, which is, you know, and by the way, like, meeting, I don't, you know, obviously I don't know what went on or what was said, but, you know, I think when Archie spoke about delivering a message, I mean, I think it was probably a short message from Torrey Lovello. I mean, that's, at first there sort of seemed to be a vibe that it was like a players only type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, really Archie had said, when your leader speaks, you know, and I don't know, but I imagine it was something to the effect of get it in gear, you know, I don't know. You know, I think Archie's saying is let's go. So he kind of used that phrase. But, yeah, I mean, I think did it work? I mean, yeah, they won. I mean, Zach Godley, you know, had a lot to do with it. Jumping on Luis Castillo had a lot to do with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe they needed that little kick in the butt. I don't know. I mean, Torrey, you know, doesn't like to comment on those things. So he didn't. But, you know, last year after the fact, we sort of found out, okay, there were a couple times where he had to get on them, but we didn't really know it at the time. So I'm pretty sure he likes to stay under the radar with that. But, boy, that was great. They came out. And, you know, and the other thing is that I love Daniel Descalzo because he's the one guy when you talk to him and he doesn't give you the old every game is the same.
Right.
You know, when I walked into the clubhouse and I saw his name in the lineup, I went over there and I said, what's the feeling now? He goes, well, we have to win. You know, we need to win today. You know, I mean, and that's not like, you might say, well, that's not such a revelation. But, yeah, I mean, he's not afraid to say it. We needed to win the game today. We need to avoid getting swept. And it was kind of cool to see he and John Jay, who hadn't played in a couple days, I mean, at least not starting. You know, Jay worked a great at-bat, spoiled a bunch of pitches, and then Descalzo hit, I think it was Peralta walked prior to that too. So it's a 3-run homer for Descalzo. So it looked very much like Daniel Descalzo was like, okay, we're going to make this happen today. It doesn't always, it's not always that easy, obviously, but it was a good game. And then when they just started swatting homers in the ninth, I mean, that was just fun to see. Fun to see them exert a little dominance. Like Bob Brenly had brought up, I think on Friday, you know, that's what you need to do, kind of key to the game type of thing. And they really didn't do it. They let them get away. And so now they have a chance here in Texas against tonight's Cologne. I mean, Cologne is a guy, we were looking at some numbers, my producer Al Porteous. I mean, he's got the highest number of balls put in play of any pitcher in baseball. So let's hope they don't get hit right at someone.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, Jody, backing out. And Jody Jackson's with us with Fox Sports Arizona. You can see her tonight. Diamondbacks play at Texas against the Rangers. Greinke's pitching. They have a one-game lead over the Dodgers, game and a half over Colorado. You know, I want to go back. Friday night was bad. You ran into a pitcher, but it's still bad to start out a road trip like that. Saturday is just that's playing with both hands around your neck and coming in with a gas can out of the bullpen in matches rather than coming in with a glove. I'm going to start to get a little grumpy here when they go against teams that aren't very good and they let them off the hook, borrowing the late Denny Green's phrase. And so I'm wondering on Lovello, you said that he doesn't do this very often. Last year, you guys didn't know till later in the season. To your knowledge, has he said anything up to this point of the season, or is this him just saying, okay, 6 weeks to go, come on, let's knock this stuff off?
I don't know. You know, it's interesting because as badly as they played in May, it was sort of this weird, you know, just like really talented guys not being able to hit the ball.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know if he came at them with anything there. I mean, I think it was more of like a gentle, I mean, my feeling is that was more of like put an arm around the guy, gentle nudge, gentle, what can I do to help you? Now it's August and guys are hitting. I mean, we also ran through the numbers. I mean, they're pitching really, really well, except for Archie the other night. But, you know, the starters and, you know, and they're hitting the ball pretty well, but they're not scoring as many runs as they probably should. So, you know, it probably was more of like kicking the butt. I don't know of anything. I can't think of any other game. And there have been a couple games where, you know, they made some mistakes and maybe he had some words after that. But I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, when you face a team like the Reds and they're struggling and you don't – the way that it started off, I mean, he – I thought it was well-timed, right? I mean, like
sure.
You said, you're Friday, Saturday, and then you're like, okay, this can't go on another day, right? So
No. I mean, and yeah. You run into Texas, they're not good. You run into San Diego, they're not good. I get the whole thing. Everybody's playing with pride and you're playing for contracts and – you know, those guys are already scheduling their U-Haul vans at the end of the year. I understand all of that. It's just, this is a road trip where 6 wins of 9 is probably about the worst you would want. And they've already dropped 2, so, and with Zach going tonight, you would think they're going to win. And as you said, Bartolo Colon, he is batting practice. You know, balls do get put in play. The view of where they are, is this the dog days of dog days right now? We're sitting here around August 13th, or is that overrated in your view, given the fact that the team is in such a dogfight in the NL West?
I don't think there's really any dog days right now because you can already, I mean, yeah, the last game is not till September 30th, but these guys know as long as like spring training and then a season, I mean, this is a pretty short amount of time when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they're able to see that. I guess the more years that I cover baseball, I'm able to see that. You know, most people would say, my goodness, you got a lot of games to go. Isn't it, you know, long and whatever? No, not really, because every game really does matter right now. And these guys know that. So they're pushing. I mean, everybody's going pretty hard now. This is actually kind of reminded me last night when we got in here at a decent time. We got in here at like, I don't know, 8 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock, and then you have a normal night game, and then you have an off day on Wednesday. I mean, the schedule is pretty nice too. I mean, you know, there have been some bad runs of, you know, a lot of games in a row and bad, you know, getting in late at night, but this little stretch, hopefully they can take advantage of that, kind of regroup, reset, and then you know, you have another off day. So that they now, after going like 20 in a row, they've now had like an off day last week and an off day this week. So it sets up nicely. There aren't, I mean, I think you can't make an excuse of tired or whatever, you know, because it's, and also obviously the coaches have handled that well with not, you know, not pushing anybody too hard.
Right. The bullpen in particular, before I get you out of here, because I know you have a production meeting here in about a minute or two, but you did take an iceberg off the face the other night. So if your nose had exploded with blood everywhere, which is what, you know, there's people that want that.
It was off to the side. I mean, it was kind of my right eye, to be honest. It was like...
If it gouged your eye out, you know, producers would have loved that. This is great TV. Let's rewind that. Let's re-rack it.
If it bleeds, it leads.
Right. Reporter gets bloodied eye, and you're on today's show tomorrow morning. Have you had something like that happen to that severity before?
No. It's usually just a little dirt, you know, a little dirt, a little water.
Yeah.
It's a cold rush. Actually, it's kind of funny, though, when it happened, you have to look at it from my perspective. I didn't really see it coming. I certainly didn't see an iceberg. So I didn't know it was an iceberg till later. I just thought it was a really hard, cold rush of water into my eyeball. So.
Do the players apologize?
Anyway, anybody talk to you?
Anybody talk to you about it from the players? Like, hey, man, sorry, or any of that the next day? Did they know what happened?
Well, I mean, like that night, like Peralta was like, "Are you okay?" in the clubhouse, you know, when he was talking to, because I had already interviewed him, obviously, and you know, he's like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Yeah." And then I don't think Cattell had the bucket, but I mean, you don't know if it's just ice or an iceberg, so I don't blame them. But no, everybody was like, "Are you okay?" You know, a bunch of different guys, and so
you've never gotten a shaving cream pie in the face or any of that stuff. You haven't.
No. And I would just ask, if there's ever a pie going on, just make it chocolate cream. I mean, I don't want shaving cream. I'll take the actual pie.
Be careful what you wish for, Jody. Know who you're talking to here. I'll let you get to your meeting. Thanks for the time. As always, safe travels.
Thank you, Brad. I'll see you later.
You got it. There's Jody Jackson, the great Jody Jackson. I didn't lobby to be her agent today. Usually I do. I just go overboard about her because she's great. Yeah, if you missed, Eric, did you see that the other night when she took the iceberg off the face?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. But in typical Jody form, the iceberg hit her face, and then she had a perfect hair flip.
Of course.
That our friends at Fox Sports Arizona put up on Twitter and slowed it down, and she still looked radiant. Her hair was still almost perfect despite having some sort of substance all over the top half of her body. But
radiant with an iceberg in the face.
That's only Jody, right?
Only Jay. That's it. All right. So I'm going to get serious with you on the other side about this Maryland situation. Talk about ASU football the other night. I was out there scrimmage. But this stuff that happened at Maryland over the weekend, and actually the last few months, you know, potentially you look at what's going on at Ohio State and what's going on at Maryland, and even if Urban Meyer walks, this stuff at Maryland's far worse. I'll get into that after this timeout. I'm Brad Sussmat. There was so much going on over the weekend, and it didn't matter if it was Tiger Woods dominating the headlines or the Diamondbacks going back and forth, the Cardinals in their preseason game. Arizona State had a scrimmage I went out to. Rising had a match against OC that I went out to. The Maryland story is the one that really caught my eye, and I would encourage you to dive into this a little bit further, because this involves you, if you love the game, because this involves not just the head coach at Maryland, it involves the strength coach at Maryland. One of the things about sport is we trust our sons and our daughters to be looked at over by our high school coaches, our club coaches, if we're starting out at a very early age, right? And then they move into college, and you trust that the college coaches are looking out for the best interests of your sons and your daughters. And so when I saw the story of Maryland start to pick up momentum on Saturday, I wanted to read further about it. Obviously, we're not there. We don't have boots on the ground there. There's people in the industry you can reach out to. It's just 48 hours. And I don't want to sit here and make blanket statements or judgments, but this is a story. It's one thing when you look at the Ohio State side of it, and it's two separate issues there. Domestic violence, I have no place for that. I have no tolerance for that. There should be no place for that. A man should not put his hands on a woman. Some of you disagree with me on that. It's just how I see it. The issue on Ohio State is you have a head coach, a CEO of a company, flat lying about it. And is there a cover-up? And is it just people wanting to make sure their beloved football coach stays out of harm's way because they want to win football games? You know, when I see that there's people trying to figure out who ratted out Urban Meyer, And if it's Tom Herman, and now suddenly Tom Herman is the guy that's being thrown under the bus in Columbus, Ohio, because there's fans that all they care about is whether Ohio State beats Michigan and wins a season. They don't care what happens. They just flat don't care what happens away from football. They're only about W's and L's. This story goes beyond that because it's the kids. A 19-year-old offensive lineman, Jordan McNair, who passes away. The head coach, DJ Durkin, and his role in all this. He's been placed on administrative leave. Why did they do that rather than suspend him or fire him? It comes down to the legalese side of it. They want to investigate his contract. How much are they going to have to pay out to it if, in fact, they have to blow him out? For some reason, Maryland hasn't been, from my view, I still think of Maryland and the ACC. Eric joked with me about that this morning. We were talking before the show. You don't think of them as in the Big Ten Conference. And so here's a program that is looking at a strength coach that bullied and intimidated players along with the head coach. The conditioning and strength coach, Rick Court, he's been placed on leave, allegedly threw weights at players, engaged in other dangerous behaviors. His training conditions that led to the death of McNair, who died 2 weeks after collapsing while running sprints, and possible legal responsibility, moral responsibility on the part of Durkin's coaching staff. It was heat exhaustion. It pertains to right here where we are in Arizona. You have to trust your coaches. I can't be there this afternoon when my 13-year-old is out on the practice field at 2:40 until about 4:15. I will be there tomorrow when he plays his game. This Friday night, we're going to be out at high school games. It's the start of the high school season. And there's great programs and there's great coaches who take care. But it doesn't mean across the board that everything is right, that everything is copacetic. And so on the college end, when I see this going on, yeah, it bothers the hell out of me. It really does. And a head coach not knowing that heat exhaustion is going on and that a player is being pushed and that a strength coach is throwing weights in the directions of players. And there's a lot here to this. The death of McNair, is it going to lead to a lawsuit? You would think they probably try to settle out of court. It's a 19-year-old college student who passes away. The kid is 6'5", or was 6'5", 325 pounds. A big, big kid. He was recruited by Ohio State, by Auburn, by Penn State, other elite Division I programs. Accounts of the collapse of McNair, I'm reading here from ESPN's transcript, happened on Tuesday, May 29th, based on reviews of 911 recordings and witness recollections. As always, retelling a story, retelling an incident. That's why I sit here and go through the Hamilton hazing scandal and say it's a recollection. And the recollections have changed repeatedly just on the Hamilton hazing scandal. And yet people have been tossed to the curb and run over in space, especially Steve Bellis, if we're just talking about that. The important caveat in mind is McNair appeared to have experienced breathing problems following his participation in 10 110-yard sprints during a very warm weather day. The sprints occurred between 4:30 and 5 o'clock. Upon seeing McNair's struggles in breathing and cooling down, training staff directed him inside for further observation. 5:57, unidentified person called 911 to say that he was hyperventilating. Medical care was urgently needed. 5 minutes later, an ambulance arrived. 6:30, he was admitted to emergency room.
Think about that, Brad. 10 110-yard sprints for a 6'5", 325-pound offensive lineman in the dead of summer. And I'm guessing this was probably towards the end of a workout.
Yeah.
Think about that. 10 110-yard sprints. Well, so that's from the back of one end zone to the goal line of the other end zone, or from the goal line through the back of the other end zone on turf in the dead of summer 10 times.
And they said that the conditions were approximately 80 degrees weather, but that doesn't list humidity back east.
And if they're on field turf, you can go ahead and add 20, 25 degrees to that temperature. So
absolutely.
And this also dates back, Brad. I mean, the Big Ten, Jerry Sandusky, Penn State, Larry Nassar, Michigan State, Urban Meyer, Ohio State. Not a good 6-7 year run off the field for the Big Ten Conference.
Well, and add to that, let me finish this though. McNair's family has indicated that the cause of death was complications of heat stroke, as detailed by the Mayo Clinic. Heat stroke is a medical condition during which one's body severely overheats, often to a temperature of 104 degrees or higher. If untreated, heat stroke can damage one's heart, kidneys, other organs. How would the lawsuit be brought, and what would McNair's family's demand? That is one of the stories that is being put out there today. What kind of legal defense might Maryland turn to? Will the death of McNair lead to criminal charges? That's something to look at. And so when you go through this, just on the legal side, to me, it would seem like there's not a chance. There's not a chance at all that the head coach is going to return DJ Durkin. How do you go about going into young men's homes and sitting with mom and dad and saying, you know, that was just a misunderstanding, or the media just blew it out of proportion, or it's all being laid out here. I gave you the timeline of what happened. A strength coach throwing weights. Are there times where strength coach is the guy that is going to get in the grill? I did an event earlier or last night. We taped last week with John Lott. John Lott, if you remember, was the strength conditioning coach of the Arizona Cardinals. Get your mind right, guy. Used to run the NFL Combine. He's now strength coach over at the LA Chargers. And I know that John would push people. That's what strength coaches do. They're not like, hey, come on, little Johnny. But throwing weights? You know what I thought of when I saw this story? Is they're going to need a guy that comes in and cleans up the program. And that guy is sitting here in Scottsdale. His name is Todd Graham. There are those over at ASU that felt like I had a real vendetta to get Todd Graham fired. First of all, I had nothing to do with it. What I say isn't going to get a coach fired. I just merely pointed out the program wasn't going in the right direction from my view. Okay. But Todd did several very good things. And I think his message just ran thin, in particular with the athletic director and the CEO of the university, the president of the university, and Dr. Crow. But Todd Graham could go in and clean up that program. They're going to need somebody to go in and clean up. It's like Baylor, right? Like Baylor, I've heard that Baylor is considering or has been advised by their legal team to just say, we're not going to be bowl eligible this year. Let's just take the penalty now, fall on the sword in the middle of August. Because we're going to get hammered anyways, and this will lessen the blow. Eric, you know this better than I do. Baylor's not going to be very good this year. They're going to be a middle-of-the-road team, probably.
Lower end of the Big 12.
Lower end, right?
But they'll be much better than they were last year.
But does it make sense legally, and I'll tie this into Maryland in a second, mm-hmm. Does it make sense legally to just go to the conference and the NCAA and say, yeah, we did a lot of bad things here. We're going to make ourselves bowl ineligible this season.
Sure.
So we're not going to go to the Independence Bowl.
Yeah.
We're not going to go
I think that was actually a pretty good PR play by Baylor.
Yeah.
Get out in front of it and fall on the sword, and maybe down the line it will help you. Because, yeah, they're not going to win the Big 12 title this year.
No, they're not going to come close. And they're not going to go to a big bowl game.
I don't believe so.
So in Maryland's case, with this hanging around them,
they're kind of in the same boat. I mean, Maryland was a 6-win, 7-win team last year. They were okay. They went to a lower tier bowl.
Do you agree with my view of Graham? Somebody like that?
Yeah.
Todd's going to be the cleanup guy.
Yep. Just like he was here. There's no doubt.
Whenever there's a job that comes open, and it could be Cliff Kingsbury this year. It's not that there's a cleanup job there, but I think Cliff Kingsbury's time is about running out.
I just wonder what the national perception is of Todd Graham. Is Todd Graham a sexy enough name to go land at a Power 5 school and become the next head coach of a Maryland or a Texas Tech?
If you're at a low,
especially because he's going to be removed for a year now, at least from coaching.
Yeah, but he'll do the media stuff.
Yeah, he's doing ESPN games or something.
Yeah, I mean, he already did a sit down with Kent. That's mm-hmm. fine. He's keeping his name out there. That's what you have to do when you're in the in-between stuff. I just think that when you look at what's going on in Maryland, there's not a way that guy can come back and recruit. That's my thing. And he's already up against it because he's in the Big Ten. He's not going to get the guys usually. I mean, he got this lineman
right
away from Ohio State, this poor kid that passed away, and Penn State. But
DJ Durkin is not Urban Meyer.
No.
I mean, Urban Meyer is going to get a little bit more leash because he's Urban Meyer. DJ Durkin is just a young coach at a lower-tier Power 5 school like Maryland.
So tonight, Khalil's talking down at U of A at 6. Should I go?
You know, it is only like 13 minutes from your house. So, I know. Yeah, I guess you could go.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. He's talking because their opener against BYU, I'm more interested in that one than I am UTSA for ASU. And yeah, it's Herm's. It's for his first game. I went out to ASU the other night. But I'm kind of more into the what does U of A look like?
Well, everyone thinks that U of A has a chance to win the South. I mean, I was strolling through the grocery store yesterday and I picked up the Khalil Tate on the cover of SI, and SI has them as the 19th best team in the country. So,
yeah, but they left Jalen.
We shall see.
They left N'Keal Harry off their top 50 players. How do you do that?
I don't know. Someone got fired.
So you don't know what you're talking about. So I was out at ASU the other night, and I'll just briefly get into that, and then we'll take a break. I was out at ASU the other night. Herm came over, asked him, you know, guys in the media scrum are asking him things like this position and that position and all that stuff, and I don't care. What I care about is you're 3 weeks away from your first game. How do you feel your team is as you come into your first game? And the vibe I got, we're going to use some of this on the Football AZ show this week. I'll put it up on the website. The vibe I got from Herm is he likes where he is offensively. How can you not like where you are offensively when you have N'Keal Harry? Manny Wilkins has got to show more. And people are giving me this whole, you're disrespecting Manny. No. Point to me a game that he has won. Point to me a game that he has lost. And I'll give you, he hasn't done either. It's not ripping him. It's a fact. Okay? He can turn around, hand the ball off. He's got a couple of backs there. There's some battle going on at 2 and 3 at the running back spot. But I felt like from Herm's view, offensively, they're where they need to be. It's the usual defense of Arizona State. You know, go back and look at Arizona State defense numbers through the years. I've given you the number if you are just joining us. Arizona State, since the Jake Plummer Rose Bowl team, is 20 games over 500. And that's with a couple of 10-win seasons by Todd Graham. They're just average. They are just mediocre. The numbers don't lie. And so it's getting something figured out on the defensive side of the football where they can be consistent. For everybody who says they're going to get drilled by Michigan State, Michigan State's had a lot of off-the-field trouble here in the last 4 or 5 weeks. If you go back and look, they've had some stuff happen. And that game is early in the season, and it could be 105 degrees and all that stuff. Or we sit here on the following Monday, and they lost 45-0, and it's, see, told you. I kind of like where he is. I talked to Manny Wilkins, too, about what do you like about this team? And his response was, I like that we don't have to go on social media and tell everybody how great we are. We're not insecure like most other teams that are out there. He took a shot at that. I don't know if it was at U of A or USC or whomever it is. Manny's got this chip on him that comes from his childhood, that comes from his upbringing. If you haven't seen the Manny Wilkins story, it's pretty, pretty powerful. I liked where he was. I went over to N'Keal Harry and asked him the same thing. What do you like about this team? And then you turn it around and say, what concerns you? If I say, what don't you like about this team? Usually coaches get all bent out of shape and give me but it's what concerns you about this team. And then they figure out what I'm getting at. So I had a good time out at Arizona State the other night. I was there about an hour and 15 minutes. Great crowd. It was Saturday night. Saturday night, Rising had a great crowd. ASU scrimmage had a great crowd. The Cardinals had some people show up to watch preseason football, so it was a busy sports night. It was fun. Tiger Woods was the story yesterday, but he may not be the story for the Ryder Cup team. I'm going to talk to you about that on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. So over the weekend, the Ryder Cup was on my mind with Tiger Woods because I just figured he would make it, especially as good as Tiger was launching darts along with Brooks Koepka yesterday. Watching those two down the stretch was just great drama. It was what I love about sport. For those of you that are not big on Tiger Woods and his personal habits and all that stuff, I wasn't seeing that yesterday. I see the athlete that is out there competing at the highest level. There were some people that were still bringing up the past of Tiger Woods. And I think at some point, guys, if you're trying to knock down everybody else's love of sport on a Sunday afternoon off of things that happened allegedly or reportedly years and years and years ago, I don't know, forgiveness for me is something that I try to work at. And I don't look at him and say, ew, I hope he doesn't do well. Brooks Koepka won the second major of the year yesterday, which in most places would put him on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Would he be the lead guest to have on shows? But when you have an icon like Tiger Woods show that he can, in fact, come all the way back. The announcers yesterday on CBS, Gary McCord sounded like he was at a kid's play. And I say that in respect for Gary. I love Gary, but he realized, and even Jim Nance yesterday was starting to go over the edge a little bit. That's something you just don't hear. Those guys were really loving the moment and understanding that this is great for the game. The John Deere Classic with a bunch of no names at the top of the leaderboard doesn't move the needle. Nationally, when you see that ratings were up 69% for the PGA Championship yesterday, it's because most of the country wants to see Tiger still out of the course. It would be nice if Phil Mickelson could challenge. It would be nice if Ricky Fowler could just win one of these because I see him and I feel bad now. I'm not a great golfer. I love to get out and play. I love the mental side of the game as I've gone out and played or I cover guys that do it. I'm understanding the mental grind that it is. If I go out on a golf course and I stand over a ball and my mind starts to wonder about, am I doing enough at Sports 360 AZ? Have I written enough lately? Are sponsors coming through? Are we able to keep doing this? What about the TV show? What about the second TV show? All the things that go through a CEO's mind, I'm going to suck that day on the golf course, okay? I've figured it out that if I stand over a ball, my mind wanders at all, it's not going to be fun. So imagine you're at the top of game and you're Tiger Woods and you're just blowing for years. It's been 10 years since he won a major and he almost did it yesterday. And the size of the crowds in St. Louis were terrific. What's interesting, though, is today Jim Furyk is not saying for sure they're going to put Tiger Woods on the Ryder Cup team. I look at that and say that's sheer lunacy. They have four at-large picks. How would you not put him on it? In the same conversation about Phil Mickelson. So the two of them and Furyk playing coy today about Tiger, whether he makes the team or not, to me just seems like he can't be serious. But this is a big story across the country today on the sports page. That's our show for today. Thanks for being with us. And we, as always, love your support. Support those that take care of us here at Sports 360 AZ. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He is the Iron Man. Eric, as always, the great Eric Sorensen, contributes, produces, does everything so well. Go over to our website. Check out our content as we go through the week. It's the first week of high school football. College football is doing its thing. And, of course, the Cardinals are in play. Plenty on the Diamondbacks. We're Arizona-centric pro college and high school. Thanks for being with us.